Bob Colhan is an actor and former faculty member in Chicago's famed Second City. His company, Business Improv, creates corporate training programs which use the direct connections between improvisation and business. Bob has worked with the likes of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and his techniques are something that we can all use, whether it's for business or just to interact more productively with the people around us. Bob Colhan, welcome to the show. So happy to have you.
Steve, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So you're steeped in the background of improv and worked with so many people in that industry and learned a lot of the techniques. How did it occur to you that these techniques could be valuable in the business world?
Well, I have an undergrad in business, and I was quite successful in business before my mid-20s, 24, 25, and I left business to get into improvisation and do the best I can never to enter business again, only to find out that in the mid-90s, a professional improviser was a contradiction in terms. And I started doing a lot of corporate training for a lot of other great houses in Chicago, and it was at that time in the late 90s, very vacuous, empty. People were taking the programs and saying it was fun. I just can't use any of this stuff. And now I have to actually go back to work and make up for the 3, 4, or 5 hours I spent here. So it was kind of a fun waste of time. And I knew that there was more substance between two things that I really loved, business and, of course, improvisation. And I had a very serendipitous turn of events take place in which the Duke Fuqua School of Business was looking for some experiential learning, and I was in the right place at the right time to start collaborating on some experiential learning, and then we're off and running so I could create depth and substance to the experiential learning that improvisation inherently provides through, of course, great business schools and great businesses, and also through behavioral psychology and cognitive psychology and organizational theory and behavioral decision making.
Well, your parents must have loved to hear that conversation with them when you said, you know, I'm not going into business. We've just spent thousands and thousands of dollars for me to get my degree. I'm going to improv. So what was that conversation like?
Challenging. So especially because by 24 years old, I'd already won a couple of Bank of America awards for small business creative marketing in Chicago Regional.
You were on your way, man.
I was on my way. And I told them that I'm leaving to go study improv with all my heart and passion and energy, and they were firmly against it. And what I asked for was about a 4-year grace period. It took me 4.5 years to get through college, and I wanted just about the same amount to see what I could do with improvisation. And then pretty much by coincidence, at the end of that four and a half years, that's when I started marrying improvisation to business and moving forward. So I negotiated with them.
Yeah. So what was it like to work at Second City? What years did that take place?
I started teaching for the Second City around 99, I believe. It might have even been 98. So just for the sake of trying to be generously accurate, I'll say 99. And really continued to work with them in one capacity or another through 2013 or so, as I was auditing audition sessions they would put together in New York for people with talent to go on their cruise ships. And I toured with them on their cruise ships. In fact, that's where I met my wife. She was a dancer on one of the cruise ships, and I was a Second City improv and sketch comedian. And I taught for them for the better part of a decade and was, of course, their first core faculty, me and two other people. And you're talking about one of the greatest American institutions. Yeah. And really, when it comes to the art of improvisation, it's the greatest institution in the entire world, at least in my eyes. And there's several others that can compete with it. They're just the mothership of it. You can kind of say they were the first in doing this with sketch comedy and satire starting in 1959. And there's no other place like it. And for that record, like Chicago, when it links to improvisation in the entire world.
So you mentioned the word art, but you know, art requires discipline. It's often rules-based. I'm a musician. I understand that. I think even a visual artist understands that there's rules, a perspective, and other. What are some of the rules of improvisation that translate into business to make people more successful?
The cornerstone of all improvisation is a two-word phrase called yes and. Yes is unconditional acceptance. You give me this gift, this offer, this opportunity, and then is the bridge to what you do with it, your intelligence, your energy, your attitude, And this is the fundamental rule of improvisation because it leads to so many different things like postponing judgment, which is also important in business, slowing down, being focused and present in the moment. Very important to business, especially as it relates to leadership and presence and mindfulness and emotional intelligence. The ability to create on an individual basis and create inside of an ensemble or team. So you're talking about collaboration, communication. Improvisation is a communication-based art form inherently. So it leads directly to communication. And as you link yes and to communication, it's also a conflict management technique. So really, the rules of improvisation as an art applied directly to business in so many ways.
So this idea, I'm trying to visualize this on stage. So if a fellow improv member will throw you an idea and you're basically have to be in the moment and you're saying yes, you may not actually say it, but you're thinking, okay, yes. And now you have to take that idea and you have to move it along in your own unique way. And so is that the process you're describing?
Absolutely. You don't always have to say yes and to mean yes and. Mm-hmm. And yes and does not always mean yes, I agree with you 100% and I'm always going to do what you say.
Okay.
It's a way for us to come together to find common ground and build off of each other and be inspired by each other. Mm-hmm. And that takes an incredible amount of focus and concentration and listening to be present in the moment, observation skills, to really link up with one or more other individuals to collaborate in real time and organically discover the next things that you're going to do and say in the context of a show.
All right. You know, thinking about improvisation, I'm a musician and I understand the art of jazz improvisation. And, you know, many people think that it's all created on the spot and every note or every phrase is original, but there's a mental catalog that a jazz player will have of ideas that they've played or other people's ideas that they may input into their solo. And there's only really, I don't know what the percentage would be, but you know, there's only a smaller percentage that's actually created at that moment. When you're handed something as an improviser or in business, an idea, how much of that is trained knowledge that you've already had and that you're going to be vamping on, and how much of it is true improvisation?
All great improvisation is based in training and knowledge and repetition, practice, 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 regardless of which direction you're going to take it. Now, we don't have the confines necessarily that music or jazz puts into place with so many measures or bars or only X number of notes. Mm-hmm. We have a much more limitless possibility. And that allows us to organically explore and heighten and discover really to infinite potentials. That said, if you do not have a strong foundation, a clear understanding of what's going on, a common language we can use, a shared set of beliefs, a common goal, and years, hours and hours and hours, endless hours of practice, you are not going to be able to improvise and perform at the top of your intelligence in any art at the same level that somebody else can who is putting in that time, energy, effort.
When you go into a workshop in a corporation, you've got X hours to work with these people. Maybe it's a full week. I really don't know how it works. And so how do you get them to be able to come up with something and to change their behaviors in such a short period of time? What are some of your techniques?
Sure. So our programs in business improv range anywhere from 30, 60, 90 minute keynote type of presentation to multiple days. So they're all custom created. So in an average program, which lasts around 4 hours, the first thing that we all really have to do is create a common understanding of why we're there. And that includes looking at improvisation as a medium for delivering these types of messages and the challenges they face inside their organization. Because a creativity program for one organization is not going to be a great fit for a creativity program in another organization. And my four examples will be a creative organization like Pepsi Cola Creative or a pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. They're not going to deal with it the same. So it's really understanding where they are, what they want to do, their goals, and then showing the delivery on how to get there. And then ultimately, we ask them to postpone judgment. Postpone judgment of the exercises, of each other, of themselves, of exactly what we're going to do until the tail end of the program, when we can put our critical thinking hats back on and say, this is what's happening at this point. My 3.5-year-old son just
watched. Yeah, I heard. That's fine.
Hey,
so
Casey.
We're going to be improvising from this moment forward.
Yeah. Yes, I'm in an interview right now, buddy. It's a new friend of mine, Steve. Here, follow Samantha, okay? All right, I love you, buddy. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Bob Culhan is father and also an actor and former faculty member in Chicago's famed Second City. His company, Business Improv, creates corporate training programs to help people in business use the skills of improvisation to communicate better. So I think most people, when they're in a situation with somebody and they're listening to somebody, they're not actually listening. They're thinking about what they're going to say in response. And this idea that I've read on your site about, you know, being in the moment, it's kind of difficult and it's something that we're not naturally inclined to do. What exercises would you say you'd give me to make sure that I'm kind of staying in the moment and not thinking about myself?
You are articulating one of the basic human communication pitfalls in that we think about what we're going to say next as opposed to being focused and present in the moment and simply reacting to what somebody is saying to us. So if we go back to yes and as really our scarlet thread throughout improvisation and focus on it as a communication tool, the two words yes and will actually slow the brain down so that you are focusing and present in the moment, because yes is yes implied, I hear you. You have my undivided attention. I'm listening to you right now and not focused on any other 3.5-year-old distractions that may come in. And then is the bridge to show how I'm focused, how I'm present, how I'm simply reacting to you. So really by using that two-word phrase, yes, and, you are slowing the brain down to be present, to simply respond. And it can keep you from falling into that human communication pitfall of thinking about what to say next.
So many people I talk to, and I'm sure you've talked to, will say that their greatest fear is public speaking. They have tremendous stage fright. And even though I talk to the public a lot, I mean, I still get, you know, a little perspiry when it's my turn or whatever. It doesn't necessarily come natural to me. How do you deal or help these people who are now have to kind of are in small groups? You're there trying to help them learn how to communicate. How do you get them beyond their stage fright?
Well, there's multiple ways to hit a pinata, right? There's more than one way to hit a pinata. So what's important to understand in the workshops is that these can manifest themselves in so many different ways, including what I call ride the bike type of programs. If you're teaching somebody how to ride a bike, you don't present it, you don't watch a video or read a case study about it. Everybody's up on the bike at the same time riding it.
Right.
So that's number one, that there's safety in numbers. We're not highlighting people and making examples of them, good or bad. Now, if you're looking at a presentation program that we've run many times that use components of improvisation to strengthen reacting to the unexpected inside of a presentation, technology malfunctions, unexpected questions, asking the right questions back to the audience, that's a different scenario altogether. And one of the things that I direct people toward is the idea of engaging. And this goes back to something my mentor used to say to me. And my mentor created the Second City Training Center. Mm-hmm. And he used to say, to be interested is to be interesting. And we've repurposed that in business improv. To be engaged is to be engaging. Mm. So as a presenter, instead of focusing on being nervous or what you're going to do, which is all internal thoughts, you're pushing your head internal to, oh, I'm so nervous, I got to get out of my head and think about this.
Yeah.
Push it external. Push it out to your audience and focus on engaging single individuals. And just say, my job is to engage you. And in doing so, you're going to be more engaging to them. And a result is at least an increase in probability in your content being more impactful.
Yeah, get out of your brain. You know, some people say that you imagine the audience naked, but I find that totally distracting. That doesn't help me one bit.
I don't want to see half the audience.
I really don't want to see that, you know. Finally, you know, using these techniques can strengthen your personal brand. This is something you speak about as well. And you want to get kind of prepared for any kind of meeting, I guess, no matter how small or no matter how large. You made the analogy that before you go outside, you check to see what the weather is and you take a moment to pull yourself together, dress appropriately, bring an umbrella. And it's kind of the same technique you want to use because what you present as your personal brand really matters. Take us through that just a little bit. We have under a minute.
Absolutely. First thing to understand is energy and attitude are choices. It's a choice to be low energy. It's a choice to have a bad attitude. It's a choice to be high energy. And it's a choice to have a good attitude. So taking that same time that you would normally designate toward checking the weather, 1 or 2 minutes, and dressing appropriately, and putting that time in before a meeting, an engagement, a phone call to say, where's my energy? Where's my attitude? Am I physically and mentally at a place I need to be to execute at a very high level, to be elite at my job, can pay itself off tremendously.
Yeah. So get energetic, you know, stand up straight, you know, just get into that game
smile.
Mode, right? The smile, that helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
My guest, Bob Culhan. The company is called businessimprov.com or Business Improv, and you can find him at businessimprov.com. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it. That was fun.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it as well.